The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with Nash Udit. He started ViroBusters Made Service October 2019, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And aside from having a very different, all right, we're going to have to dive into this before we talk anything clean. Where did you get the name Nash and where did you get the name Udit? Because if I'm thinking it, a third of our audience has to be going, no, that's a weird name.
Definitely a unique name, Mike. Family from the Caribbean, man. So it's a huge melting pot. So that's where the name kind of gets pieced together.
All right. And for those of you that are just listening, not watching, Nash has got that good, he could be a model. Like, you know, nowadays everyone's like, could be Middle Eastern, could be Hispanic, could be a white. Okay. Like, yeah. So you got that good, like, what do you need me to be today? Like actor, right? Model, you got a good, in the name, Nash Udit. You don't know what the hell to expect with that guy.
Right. So, yes.
If this doesn't work out, you know, right away, get to, you know, some sort of, you know, marketing campaign, you know, we get the, what is it? All the United Colors of Benetton here. Dude could be anyone. He could be all the colors. So not a bad
game. I'll take that compliment. I'll run with it.
Yeah. Usually I don't compliment on, you know, tell dudes like they could be models, but you know, you're you may be the first 700 podcast to be like, you should be modeling. So take it for what it's worth, my friend. All right, just in case some of you tuned in not to hear about the details of Nash's physical characteristics, what's going on in your world and how can I help, man?
Yeah, man. Well, thank you for having me on the podcast. So yeah. I started the business here a couple of years ago and, you know, just reading, you know, different feedbacks on different, you know, competitors and their reviews. And, you know, what I came up with is that lots of the competitors, they're biggest complaint I would say is not having great team members, you know, delivering great service. So my biggest concern is how do you find great teammates and how do you keep them? How do you reward them? How do you promote them to grow?
Cool. I love that question. So first of all, I want to give a bonus answer that you didn't want, but maybe it'll be helpful. And I think it'll definitely be helpful for Clean Nation. So I think one of the most caustic things people can do is to kind of look at what their competitors are doing. I get a really cool, unique perspective in that we coach people all over the world, all 50 states, all the provinces of Canada. I think the podcast is in 90 countries. We've had clients in probably a dozen. So I kind of get the back end, right? Because we're coaching, you know, people are pretty transparent about where they're at and they're blah, 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 blah. And I found a lot of times it's the blind leading the blind. So we'll look to what other people are doing without really knowing if they're successful. And if they are successful, we don't know if the thing that we're looking at, they're succeeding in spite of or because of. So people go, well, other people pay this or other people charge that, or this guy's website looks like that, or we kind of, and it's literally a situation of blind leading the blind because we've been doing this for a long time and we know what a successful cleaning company looks like. And a lot of times the person you'll be looking at isn't successful. You're like, well, they're big or they're whatever. It's like, do you know their revenue? Do you know their profit? Do you know how many hours they're working? Do you know if they have happy clients? They could be running at a deficit. You know, we've got guys that they're married to a rich spouse and they don't care if they make any money or not, right? But they might be a bunch or they might not be. There's just a lot of, A, we don't know if they're living the life that you want to create with your business. And even if they are, like, oh, I'm going to do their website because they're super successful. Maybe they've been in business 20 years and their website's terrible, but they're really good at this other thing. Or they've just been around for a long time and therefore they're successful. So the two things are, we don't know if they're successful as we would define it, right? Maybe they're working too much or their revenue's big, but their profit's low, whatever, but it's not the life that we want. And then B, we don't know if the one unit of measure that we're taking about how they hire, what they pay, what they charge, what their website looks like, how they market. Oh, they're, you know, they send out money mailers. So money mailers must be crushing. We don't know that. A lot of times they don't even know that. We get clients, we've not forced them, but teach them how to really pencil out their marketing. Find they're kind of shocked, right? So I just want to encourage you guys. I would only take feedback from someone that is getting the result that you want, or you know, a coach, whether it's me or anyone else that's gotten a result that you want in several other people, right? I don't want a fat trainer. I don't want to take advice from a broke guy on how to make money. But we will do that in business. We just make a bunch of assumptions. So just be real careful where you take your feedback. So, and the reason I share it, there's a lot of people beat themselves up. Oh, this guy's that. And we compare ourselves to other people, but we don't know the results. So we beat the crap out of our, oh, my website sucks. My marketing sucks. My employees suck. Everything sucks. But I get to see both. And I look over there and he's looking at you going, my, this sucks. My, that sucks. So it's like, give yourself permission to be like, you know, I'm just going to focus on doing what's good for me and serving my people, my level, and living my dream. And I don't really care what other folk are doing. So total rant. Are you okay with that before we jump into the actual question you asked?
That's a great perspective. It really is. I agree with you. You know, I always think about it. Pardon me. Whenever, you know, like you go to like a new town, you ask someone like, hey, what's a good spot to go and eat? And they're like, oh, I'll go to this spot. It's like, you're already assuming that, you know, you love the same foods. It's like, you're really dissecting the whole conversation. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
He might love Mexican food and I don't like Mexican food. Like, we're just right. Gonna piss, right? Like,
right. Yeah. So that's okay. A good point though. Yeah.
So let's jump in and talk culture. So the good thing is I can tell you, having definitively done this for quite a few years for, you know, thousands of companies, we can actually tell you what works. So what I want to focus on, because we've done quite a few podcasts on hiring and culture and all that. So not that I want to skip it here, but we've done deeper into that. So I want to talk about how to reward and grow employees, because I think that's a big place people struggle and get frustrated. Yes. Okay, cool. Nash is like, I'm in, let's do it.
Yeah.
So the first thing, and again, a lot of this has to do with perspective. So oftentimes one of the big mistakes we make as business owners is we assume everyone else is like us. It feels very, like my wife is an artist and she'll create these beautiful pieces of art and she'll minimize them. People will come in and go, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, it's no big deal. I just did this and this and this. And she like lines out all these things like it's super easy and it's not, right? But to her, it seems easy. She's not trying to be humble. She was born with the skill and she spent time in it. So it seems natural to her. So she's confused when other people don't see it as easy. She doesn't see it as a talent because, you know, if you have a talent, you know, if you're a crazy good athlete, you just run like the wind. You don't understand. You're like, can't everybody do this? Like, no, everybody can't do that. So as an owner, oftentimes we have that. I just want to be better. I want to make a career. I always want to get better. I want to improve. I want to be the best I can. I've got to build something, which is a weird thing. To us, it feels natural. Like, of course, everybody wants that. No, everybody doesn't. If that was the case, we'd have no employees. It would just be us, right? So we put this weird, everyone wants to build their own business and be big and be perfect and blah, blah, blah on our people. But that's not the case. Sometimes people just want to make a couple extra bucks to have a nicer Christmas for their family or to be able to take a vacation back home, wherever that is for them. And their full-time job won't do it. So they just want to do that. So the reason I bring all this up when it comes to growing employees and rewarding employees, if we try to grow and reward, if we try and grow employees the way we would want to be grown, we're going to be very frustrated. Right? Because typically what will happen is we hire a bunch of people, they let us down, they quit, they no show, they act crazy, they show up drunk, they do whatever employees do, right? And we're befuddled by it because we would never do that. It's like, well, there's a reason we own a cleaning company and they make 12 bucks an hour, not to be disrespectful of those people, but that's just the choice that they make, right? We're not judging or anything like that. We're just understanding the reality, okay? And then every now and again, we'll get a guy or gal who shows up on time and does what they said and gives a crap and really is whatever. And we're like, oh, you're my guy. I'm going to help. I'm going to give you a promotion and 6 promotions and you're going to grow with the company and you're going to be this big manager. The reality is with the cleaning company, most of the time, unless you get to several million, that's not going to be the case. You don't need those managers. And oftentimes a guy that or gal that thrives well in a team of 5 or 10 people isn't going to thrive well in a team of 50. So he won't even be with you when you finally do need a manager. And guess what? The skill set that he or she has that makes him great as a cleaner isn't going to make him great as a manager. So we put this weird thing on. It's like, I'm going to pay all my employees a living wage. Well, guess what? And again, no disrespect. I clean a lot of toilets. So please don't hear me putting down any our profession. I've done all this crap, right? But at the end of the day, and I share the same thing, like I don't do any one-on-one, you know, day-long training, but if you wanted me to fly out, it'd probably be at least 20, 30 grand, right? For a day. And if we got out there and you said, all right, Mike, someone called in, I got to go clean. Will you come clean with me? I'll go, well, yeah, your check cleared. I'll clean all you want. And we spent all night cleaning or all day cleaning. And then our time was up and I'm like, well, I'm going to get on the plane and go home. You go, well, that wasn't worth 20 grand at all. I would go, no, that was a terrible investment. You could have had someone clean this for $100. And you're like, but I paid you 20 grand. I'm like, well, that's on you. That was dumb of you to have me do this. So no matter how much value I could bring to the company, if I'm doing that cleaning job, that's the only value I'm going to bring. right? I couldn't say, you should pay me more. You should pay me a living wage. You chose to have me bring the value that I brought. So if you are a ticket taker at a movie theater, if you are making fast food, which I've done, so I'm not judging it, you can't be like, I should make $40 a year. It's like, no, you should improve your skill set, right? If you're cleaning, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's 15 bucks an hour. But if you only give 20 hours a week and it's like, I need to pay someone to be able to raise kids and have a house, it's like, then they need to not be a cleaner, right? It's not, that's unreasonable. That's like me going to Walmart and go to the greeter. You should pay me 60 grand a year to greet. Walmart's like, it's not worth that to us. And if you want 60 grand, that's fine. Create a skill and go do something that brings more value to the world. So we've got to get off of this. When it comes to growth, it shouldn't be money. The growth I would want for my cleaners would be they leave better than they came, right? It's a good, healthy culture for me. If they stay 6 months, I help grow them as a coach, right? As a leader, you want to be coaching them, encouraging them to grow. And if they get their pilot's license or get some sort of certification or education, or they build a new skill and they're like, Nash, I'm so excited. I got offered a job making 40 grand a year doing something different. You think I'm pissed? No, that's the growth I want them to get. So it's great to grow your people, but A, you have to make sure they want to grow. So like we talked at the beginning, that guy that might be really good at cleaning, and you're like, oh, you're going to be the next great thing. He might just go, I just want to make an extra 5 grand a year to have a really nice Christmas or a really nice trip or two nice trips with my family. That's all I'm here for. And if you try to force him to grow, he's going to be miserable and you're going to be miserable because he's a great cleaner and he's great at making an extra 5 grand a year. But you're like, you need to manage and do this, but that's not what he's there for. That's the first one. The second one is, we try and bend our company like we've got to pay everyone living wage and everyone's got to be rich that comes here. And if they've been here 5 or 10, this is a career. It's not a career. It's a terrible career. There's nothing, again, no disrespect for our trade. It's just not a good career, right? Welding is a career. Teaching is a career. There's a lot of things that are great careers. Cleaning people's homes is not a great career, right? So when we talk to growing employees, I want to encourage you and everybody, Nash, to A, grow them as people, but don't feel this. So you should, as a leader, go, they're better after they've been on my team than they were before. They left smarter, wiser, better people, better. You always want to pour into your people, but that doesn't mean they have to make more money. It doesn't mean they have to do a managerial job for you. It'd be great if they did a managerial job for someone that had a good managerial job because of the skills that they got at your place. But we kind of put this weird, I've got to grow them and pay them a bunch of money, but it's the wrong methodology for that. I've had businesses like car dealerships or construction companies where people, it did make a little more sense for them to move up through the ranks, so to speak. The cleaning business just isn't one of those businesses. All right, questions, comments, or remarks?
I think that's great. I never looked at it from that perspective. That makes a lot of sense.
So I think the theme of today is giving ourselves fair expectations, right? So when we look at other businesses and compare ourselves to them, we do it unfairly. Almost always we take their best, what we perceive to be their best parts, compare it against the parts that we struggle and assume they're living this dream life and our life sucks. But I've seen their business. I coach everybody. I see from both sides. They're doing the same thing. So the right response would be like, I'm just going to focus on what I'm doing. I'm not going to try and make myself something I'm not. You've got different strengths than I do, Nash. If you tried to be a Mike Campion, you'd be terrible at it. And if I tried to be a Nash Udit, I'd probably be pretty crappy at that too. So you're going to go, I'm who I am. I'm younger. Maybe I don't have the experience Mike's got, but I'm probably stronger and can work harder and got more. There's all sorts of things that you have. If you try to be a crappy version of me, bad luck. Or your competitor, right? So give yourself permission to operate at the highest level you can in the little playground that you set up. So you don't have to be like your competitor. You don't have to be like anybody. Just be you. And then your business is your business. So if your business isn't really set up well to promote people or make what you would consider living wage, that's okay, right? There's a lot of value. And I've had a lot of employees that are like, man, that extra 5 or 10 grand I made this year at your place made a big difference in my life. I was able to pay. You can still be a blessing in people's life. We make it like, oh, if we can't, we make all these judgments. If I'm not like this business, I suck. If I don't make that money, I'm no good. If I don't pay people what I consider a living wage, I'm not bringing any value to them or I'm screwing them because I make X amount and they make Y amount. Yeah, because you own a company and the skill set and the value you bring to have 20 cleaners cleaning 100 houses a month is wildly different than the value one cleaner makes cleaning 2 buildings a day. There's no judgment. There's not like you're a better human being or worse human being, but the compensation is going to be different because of the value you're bringing to the world. You just got to give yourself permission to be okay with that and not feel like I'm taking advantage of someone, I'm screwing someone. So I think a lot of the problem comes from judgment. We judge ourselves against unreasonable expectations externally, competition, and internally, I feel like I've got to pay everyone a bunch of money and I'm frustrated why I can't do it.
And that makes a lot of sense, man. It really does.
Cool. Any other questions, comments, or remarks? You feel like, hey, man, I got what I needed.
I feel like I got what I needed. I think that's a great perspective. I can take that and roll with it.
Beautiful. Well, if you got what you needed, I'm going to take a wild guess. Cleaning Nation got what they needed. So we're going to wrap it. Guys, gals, if this is helpful, and you're like, man, that's a really good on this subject, but I have questions on other subjects, you go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Like I said, we've done over 700 podcasts. I've got 2 books. I'm a Freaking Genius. Why Is This Business So Hard? $1 Million Service Business Secrets are on Amazon. They're fantastic. By the way, I think I get like a nickel and a hug every time someone buys a book. So I'm trying to hawk my book, but they are good books and can be really helpful. Also, probably the best free thing that we offer is the on-demand training at growmycleaningcompany.com. It's like 40, 50 minutes of the 5 shifts you need to make. It's probably the best thing we got. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.